This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now we kick off the 4 o'clock hour. Some really good news for all of you out there. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Anaheim, where he and the Padres will try to get one before they come home to start a 4-game series tomorrow against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Diamondbacks are just finishing up their game this afternoon in Phoenix. They're getting drubbed by the Giants. I believe the Giants have a long losing streak that they're trying to snap here.
I'm not sure. If
it hasn't been going well for the Giants. I think they've lost 6 or 7 in a row.
Let me see.
Yeah.
Before
check
we
it
move
out.
On. Because the I know that they hit a grand slam earlier in the game. Wilmer Flores hit one early in the game.
No, they lost 6 in a row.
6 in a row?
Yeah. Coming into this one. Diamondbacks had won 4 in a row coming into this one. But it looks like the Giants will snap both of those streaks. They're leading 9-3 in the ninth inning. All right, Padres, Angels, Sammy Leavitt, EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 5:30. But that's not the good news. This is the good news. Between now and 5:30, between now and the start of today's pregame show, we're going to give you a chance out there to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres-Diamondbacks game. First pitch tomorrow night is at 6:40.
I'm just singing a celebrate song.
Yeah, you'll be celebrating if you win these. And not only that, the first 40,000 fans tomorrow night are going to receive a Xander Bogaerts bobblehead. Add it to the collection. Grab tickets now at Padres.com/tickets. Or stay tuned.
Mm-hmm.
You can win a pair of Padres Diamondbacks tickets for tomorrow night's game right here on this very show.
Yes,
so
I am.
Stick around for that.
I'm collecting, you know, I'm not much of a collector, but I'm starting to get a pretty nice Padre bobblehead collection.
Yes,
going.
There's so many bobbleheads that are out there and, you know, getting released. And given away at games. I mean, if you ever started a collection within the last several years, you'd have a really good lineup by now.
I do. I even have.
And they're starting to. These bobbleheads are starting to get like crazy. I don't know if you saw the one that they gave away in San Francisco. A Barry Bonds.
Oh yeah. No, was it? No, I think it was Lamont Wade.
But I think they had one for Bonds too.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think that's when it started with Bonds.
Okay.
They give one for Bonds, and then as part of the bobblehead, you could push a button and the water sprayed out of it like you'd homered into McCovey Cove.
Yeah, that is pretty amazing.
So that's the kind of thing they're doing with the bobbleheads nowadays.
Hey, we got a bobblehead with Joe Musgrove and his dog Theo's head bobbling.
Yep. So, you know, we're starting to, you know, bobbleheads are, you know, getting up there. I'll be honest with you. When bobbleheads first came out, I'm going to say 25 years ago.
Really?
It's maybe
not
a little longer.
New. I thought this was like hundreds, at least
well,
100 years old.
Okay, they probably had, probably had bobbleheads. But I'm saying when teams started making bobbleheads of their players and giving them away, you know, to fans.
Yes.
I'm thinking that's been in the last 25 years or so. Except for the fact that the bobbleheads never looked anything like the player.
They still kind of don't sometimes.
Sometimes, but like the Musgrove one.
Which
looks just like him.
Okay, that one does. There was one.
I think a lot of them really look like these guys now, as opposed to
I can't
when
remember
it,
which one
when it
was.
First began. I mean, they were, You almost like didn't want him to make a bobblehead of you because it was such a bad depiction.
So the 1960s is when Major League Baseball started to do that. But yeah, you're right. It didn't really become that big of a deal until 25, 30 years
ago. Yeah. Where, you know, teams regularly gave them away at games. All right. Xander Bogaerts bobblehead tomorrow night. First 40,000. You can win a pair of tickets. We'll tell you how soon. Right now, you can win other prizes. Playing Chris versus the fans.
If you had one shot, one opportunity to take down the human almanac himself.
Howdy do.
Now is your time.
Listen to me, this guy is dangerous.
Now is your opportunity to win a prize.
Well, I hope you know what you're in for.
Chris versus the fans starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we're playing for a pair of tickets to the Kings of Late Night at the San Diego County Fair on June 21st. That show features Jay Leno, Craig Ferguson, and Arsenio Hall. Tickets are on sale now at sdfair.com. Scrappy, you want to give them the rules?
I do. You have to make it through three questions. Each question will get more difficult. If you get the question right, you move on. If you get it wrong and Chris gets it right, you're eliminated. But if Chris gets it wrong, then you move on to the next question or you win if you're a first-time player. Let us know before you get into it, and you will get that first question for free today. I will say I'm starting to go into theme questions. And so today, there's going to be a lot of sports movie questions in the hopper. So
You're warning the contestants.
Yes, I had to start changing up a little bit because it was getting kind of crazy there trying to find questions.
Okay. But you've been doing questions for like 3.5-4 years now.
I think it's been over five.
Longer than that.
Yes, and I know for a fact we have definitely asked the same question twice, but
that has happened.
It doesn't really matter.
All right. Because I probably know it anyway.
Okay. Let's go. Okay. Why is everything locked? I didn't even lock it today.
Lock what? The phone lines?
They're back. I don't understand these phones sometimes.
Looks like we have plenty of contestants.
Yes, we do. Jason, you are up first. How are you?
Yeah. Hey, Scrape. I'm good. How you doing?
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, ready.
All right, here we go. What college did the movie Rudy mainly take place at?
Notre Dame.
Notre Dame is correct.
Very good. Sean Astin.
Yes, Sean Astin before he was Frodo. Rudy. Or no, he wasn't Frodo. Oh, I thought you were going to continue talking.
Who did play in the final game?
Georgia Tech.
Very good.
I've seen that movie far too many times,
I've seen it a few times myself.
All right, here we go.
Wouldn't have known that.
Question number
two.
That
was question three.
Yes.
No, it wasn't.
I actually met the real Rudy at a Super Bowl Radio Row.
Rudy Rudiger?
Yeah, the real Rudy.
Okay.
Did not remind me of the Sean Astin.
So. No, they never.
All right, here we go. Another sports movie question. Who played Angels manager George Knox in the movie Angels in the Outfield?
George Knox.
The manager, George Knox of the Angels
in the
movie.
The skipper of the Halos in that
movie. Yes, Angels in the Outfield.
Angels in the Outfield.
This is one of my favorite movies of all time because it was right when I was a kid, like 1993.
So bad. What do you think, Jason?
I got no clue, so I'm going to say... I don't know.
Okay, that's fine.
He doesn't know.
I don't know if Chris knows,
yeah,
but he's
not
talking trash like he does know.
I do. This movie is so bad.
It's not bad. It's a great movie an 8-year-old at the time.
It's not only bad, it was a remake of an earlier
movie. See, I did not know that.
I think it's Danny Glover. That's who I picture anyway. Sorry, Jason, but thanks for playing. Thanks for playing.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. Everybody stands up, starts flapping their wings. Come on. Please.
That's the best part.
Their arms.
When the Angels win
the
pennant.
Their wings.
You know, actually.
Their arms. These are not wings.
Go back in time and you watch it, it's a very sad movie. The dad says he will only be a dad if the Angels win the pennant. Such like, what? Anyway, I'll move on now. Let's go to Rod. I know that Rod is in our chat, but we have not really. I don't know that we've had Rod on in a while to play this game. What's up, Rod?
Hi, Rod.
Hey, yo.
Welcome in.
Shout out to the Chatters, EC Money, Dan Calmer, At Maria, everybody. And love the show, guys, seriously.
Thank you, Rod.
Rod. 0-2 Rod against Chris.
0-2.
To get out of that club.
All right, let's go, Rod.
All
Today's
right.
your day.
Yes, Rod, question
let's
number one.
Do it.
In The Sandlot, the kids are afraid of a menacing dog in the next yard. What is the dog referred to, or what is the name the dogs call? What is the name the kids call the dog?
Man, I have a Sandlot Padre t-shirt. Look out for that one at Petco. It's really cool. My answer is going to be the Beast.
The Beast.
That's correct.
He's got the t-shirt, right, man. He was ready to roll. I did not know that one.
I was going to say Beef Stew, but that was incorrect.
you, Chris, you did not know that one.
I did not. I've never seen the Sandlot all the way through. And I just don't remember it. And I know it's fantastic.
No, it took me a long time to see The Sandlot, to be honest, just because it never happened when I was growing up. All right, question number two, Rod, here we go. In the movie Remember the Titans, what state does the high school team play in?
Woo! Well, my friend, my neighbor, told me, you have never watched that movie that you just said.
Remember the
and
Titans?
I can't tell you, man.
Oh my gosh. Not seen it. You want to guess
the
state?
I can't believe you haven't watched that movie.
I can't either.
You want to guess the state?
Yeah, you want
to
guess?
I mean, it's a state. You got a 50-1 chance.
I'll take a guess. I'll say New York.
New York.
Stay there, though, Rod.
Stay there, Rod, because I'm going to have to guess as well. I've seen the movie, but Remember the Titans. I want to say Texas because they're all in Texas, but I'll say Texas.
Texas.
No.
Wow.
How'd you survive?
Oh, it was Virginia.
I could have guessed all night.
You could have guessed all night and never gotten Virginia?
Yeah.
I love it. I love that movie so much.
Yeah, it's a good one.
This is new territory for me, guys. So
all right, good luck. This is it for the title.
Oh, he says new territory. Question number three. Here we go. Rod. All right, I'm going to go back to one of those player name things, and you have to tell me which team they were on. And this one is difficult. Ricky Henderson, Troy Percival, and Jim Leyritz. What team did they play for together?
Oh, man.
Troy Percival, Ricky Henderson, Jim Leyritz.
Got it. Jim Leyritz was a Yankee, so was Ricky. That other guy's throwing me off. Safe bet. I'm going to say Oakland A's.
I thought you were going with the Yankees. But
nope.
That is incorrect. Stay there. Chris, do you know?
Troy Percival played for the Angels mostly. I believe he went to the Rays at the very end, but I don't remember Ricky ever going to the Rays, although he played everywhere. So I'm going to have to say the Halos here, the Angels.
I'm sorry, Rod.
Rod, you were so close.
Thank you for playing, Rod.
Thanks, man. Good having
you
on.
Thank you for being a great
listener,
too.
And thanks for being in the chat, and we appreciate you.
We do.
For
sure.
Now
I drop you, Rod, after I give you all those nice things.
After all those nice things,
I hang up on you.
Get out of here.
It was the 1997 Angels.
97 Angels. Yeah, Ricky played for just about everybody at the end. But
that's why I chose him, because it's really easy to come up with a team on that one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our next contestant. We will go to the next longest holding caller is Josh.
Hi, Josh.
Hello, Josh.
Hey, what's up? Happy hump day, fellas.
Yes, sir.
Hey,
that's
yeah.
right. A little Wednesday action.
You ready to go?
Chris, by the way, Chris, it is a sin that you have not finished The Sandlot.
Oh,
you need
I
to
sin.
Do yourself some homework tonight.
Yes,
I know.
I know.
Because I've seen most of the baseball movies, and I've heard all good things about The Sandlot.
You need to, because the end is the best part.
Okay.
Right. Here we go, Josh. Question number one. Back to the movies. In the movie Castaway, Wilson the volleyball had what in blood on it?
Wilson the volleyball.
Like, what is it made of? Or
no,
what
like there
does
is,
it replicate?
What does it replicate?
A face.
A face. That is correct. You decoded my question. I was looking for handprint, but... In the middle of it, I was like, this is too confusing. Good job. Face is what it was, though.
He made a face out of the
volleyball.
He did,
out of the handprint, yes.
With the, right.
So,
very good.
It's so sad when he loses, Wilson. Makes me cry every time.
Hard.
Question number two.
Wilson the volleyball.
What early 90s movie featured Shaq and Penny Hardaway as stars?
Is it... think it's the genie one, isn't it? I think it's Shazam.
I'm not going to comment until Chris guesses, but that is incorrect.
Hmm? Blue chips.
Oh. It wasn't Shazam, Josh. I know what you're thinking of. I think it was Kazam, where Shaq was a genie.
Right.
I can say that's maybe one of the worst movies I've ever seen.
Blue Chips was not
bad. I haven't seen that in years and years and years.
I didn't remember Penny Hardaway in it, but I certainly remember Shaq. Josh. Sorry, Josh. Good to play against you. I'll try to see The Sandlot.
You have to see The Sandlot.
I know.
All right, give me a second. I'm putting more Christopher.
I've had a lot of people say that I got to see The Sandlot.
Yes.
Enough people besides you to make me actually do it.
All right.
If you're the only one who says it, then I wouldn't do it.
I get it, because I do like bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to our next contestant, Ryan in El Cajon. Hello, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Are you ready to play?
Yes.
All right, here we go. What sport is represented in the movie The Big Lebowski?
You got me.
Got him.
Oh, no. Chris, do you know?
Bowling?
Sorry?
Bowling.
I don't know why I can't hear anybody today, but that is correct. I'm sorry about that, Ryan. Bowling is correct. That is a good movie.
Good movie.
Gotta say.
Coen brothers. They're funny.
They are funny.
They did Fargo.
Fargo.
Which is...
Did they do Me, Myself, and Irene?
Mm. No. Farrelly Brothers.
Oh, okay. Because I did watch that one recently, thinking it was going to be a stupid movie, but secretly more funny than I thought it was.
First scene in the Me, Myself, and Irene. Very first scene.
I just watched it the other day.
Chocolate soft serve ice cream comes out of it.
Yeah.
If you've seen it, you're laughing right now. If you've seen it.
Okay. Jim Carrey. Funny guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to our last contestant for today, and then we're going to go to a tiebreaker.
Okay.
We're going to go to Dan in El Cajon. Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hello.
Let's do it, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Not too much. Good luck to you.
You ready to play?
He's ready.
Yep.
Okay.
Has anybody ever said they're not ready? I mean, they're always ready.
Yeah, I don't know why I asked
them. Yeah, you don't really need to ask them.
I should ask them, should not ask them.
Just ask how they're doing, you know, what do they do for a living? You know,
I'm not going on a date with them.
You know, your good Ken Jennings host questions. You know?
Okay. Here we go, Dan. What city is the University of North Carolina located in? The main one.
Chapel
Hill.
Carolina.
There you go. Chapel Hill is correct.
Chapel Hill.
All right, we're back to movie questions.
And how far away is North Carolina from Duke?
Like 10 miles.
Yeah, that's it. Very weird.
It is very weird.
I mean, imagine if Duke and North Carolina, one was USD and one was San Diego State. That's where those two schools
would be crazy.
Are in proximity to each other.
Man, that travel schedule they have is terrible.
Yeah, no kidding, right?
All right. Question number two, Dan. What name did Tim Robbins' character call himself in the movie Bull Durham?
The whole name?
Just his nickname, I guess.
No, he called himself Meat.
Meat. I think that's what Kevin Costner called him.
Okay.
But I think Tim Robbins' character was Noosh LaLook. No?
What's his nickname?
Oh, yeah. You got me then. I don't know.
Because you're so close.
What is it?
Nuke.
Nuke?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well.
All right, Dan. You're still...
Good enough for you, Dan. You
Dan's
can move
laughing,
on.
Yeah, Dan's a happy guy.
Dan's a happy guy.
All right. Here we go, Dan. Question number three. I honestly do not know if either of you are going to know this, but in the movie Chariots of Fire, it was during the Olympics. What city were the Olympics being held in the movie?
That was Rome.
Rome. It's not what I have. I've never actually seen the movie.
It's the worst Academy Award winning movie of all time.
Really?
Yeah. It's that bad.
I've never actually seen it.
It was about the 1924 Olympics, if I'm not mistaken. But I don't remember which one. It was either in... one of the runners was English. I'm going to say it was in Paris.
Are you joking?
No.
That is correct. Yeah. Wow, Dan, I'm sorry about
sorry,
that.
Sorry, Dan. Close, but no cigar.
Man, that was pretty good, Chris. Yeah. I think we do have to go to break, though. We're at the end, or yes, we're at the end. We can do some tiebreaker on the way back if you want.
Stick around if you want to play some tiebreaker. More Gwen and Chris on the way after we check traffic.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Don't forget. When I say don't forget, I mean do not forget. Tomorrow morning, it's Thursday. That means 97.3 The Fan's commercial-free Padres Roundtable.
Whoa.
Last week, Scraby was a guest on this show.
It was very fun, actually.
You handled yourself with aplomb.
Thank you.
Well done. Tomorrow morning at 10 a.m., join myself, Ben and Woods, Annie and Elston, presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, the last honest pizza. Got to be honest with you, as much as I love Roundtable, and I do love it, it's delicious.
I don't know where you're going, because I love Roundtable.
Yeah, I just don't know what the hell honest pizza is.
Oh, it's...
As opposed to what? Lying pizza?
No, honest pizza, to me, that tells me, if we're breaking it down...
Let's break it down.
It tells me that it's fresh ingredients.
I see.
It's not lying to me about what's in it.
Okay.
Stuff like that.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. We get a beautiful spread, courtesy of Roundtable Pizza, every Thursday morning.
Gosh.
And we appreciate that, but you'll appreciate it even more tuning in from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. tomorrow morning. It's commercial-free, and, oh, man, if the Padres should happen to lose tonight, the roundtable will be rocking tomorrow.
Are we going to have
between 10 and 11.
Am I going to have to do another eulogy? Last time that the
Padres
got swept.
Oh, you did a eulogy when they got swept by the Rockies?
And then things went better, but now we're back.
Yeah.
Roller coaster.
As I said last time, the last time we felt this cruddy, they went on and won 3-4 in Atlanta. So let's hope that... Something similar is about to happen.
Am I seeing this correctly real quick before we get into this tiebreaker, that the Pirates are beating the Dodgers 7-0 in the top of the third inning?
Paul Skeens, the rookie sensation, is on the mound for the Pirates.
He is a sensation.
He is. And the Dodgers, you know, Dodgers pitching is not foolproof.
No.
They've had so many injuries. I mean, after Glass now, Yamamoto, You know, they got some holes.
Charlie said on the chat, here's a thought. How about we stop settling for a wild card and start talking about what it might take to catch the very vulnerable Dodgers?
Probably more money than we have to spend. But it's a hell of a fun question to think about.
I don't even think that. I think winning two from the Angels would help get towards the Dodgers
a little bit. Yeah, but you know what? The Dodgers are about to, you just saw, they're losing to the Pirates 7-0. They lost to the Pirates yesterday.
And they've had a losing streak-ish.
Yeah.
All right,
let's get to, we got a chance to give away the pair of tickets to the Kings of Late Night. We're going to do a tiebreaker for our Christopher the Fans contest. Scraby, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, you got all those lines.
I'm going to go, I forgot.
Wait.
Chris has
line
to throw
six.
The die. Line
oh,
six.
Oh, magic.
Wow, it's magic.
The magic man.
Hello, magic.
Hello, Madge.
How you doing, gentlemen?
Good to talk to you as always.
Magic, you know the drill for the tiebreaker. I'm going to ask Chris a question. He's going to say a number. You say if the actual number is higher or lower. So
and our player in question today is former Miami Dolphin wide receiver star Nat Moore.
And yes, I'm running through this because we are going to be behind time. So, Moore, wide receiver, played all of his career with the Miami Dolphins 1974 through 1986. Chris?
Yes, 13 great seasons.
How many receptions did he have in his career?
In 13 great seasons, he had 700.
700 receptions.
Nat Moore was really good in the early Dan Marino days.
Magic, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I'm going to go higher because he was a Dan Marino's go-to guy for a long time.
There you go, Magic.
Higher?
Are you correct?
Sorry, Magic.
Oh, I thought he was correct, Magic. For sure. How many did Nat catch?
5'10".
Really?
Yeah.
Much lower than I expected.
His biggest season, 1977, 52 catches.
Yeah. He did go down in the number of catches later in his career because he was playing behind the famous Marx brothers, Mark Clayton and Mark Duper. For Marino. You don't even remember them. The Marx Brothers.
When you said the Marx Brothers, my 10th grade history thing went crazy.
No, not them. Mark Duper and Mark Clayton, great receivers for Marino, but Nat Moore was really good. All right, try to sneak somebody else in.
All right, let's go to Glenn in Coronado. Glenn, what's up?
Glenn, good luck to you.
Hey, thanks.
All right, Chris?
Yes.
Stay there, Glenn. I'll come right back to you. How many fumbles did he have in his career?
Nat Moore?
Yeah.
How many times did he fumble?
Yeah.
13 years? 10.
10. Glenn, is the actual answer higher or lower?
I think it's higher than that.
He had 9 fumbles.
9!
In his career. You were close.
Nat Moore was glue-fingered, man. He never lost the ball.
I don't even know where to even begin guessing with that one.
Yeah.
All right, Brad.
Yes, Brad won the dice roll.
Okay, Brad won the dice roll. Brad, are you there?
What's up, guys?
Hi, Brad.
Good
luck.
All right, stay right there.
50-50 for the prize. Here we go.
Chris,
yes.
How many receiving yards in his career did he have?
He said 500-some-odd receiving. So about 10 per reception, 5,000, less than that. 4,777.
Brad, is it higher or lower than 4,777?
Let's go with lower.
Lower.
We don't have a winner today. We're going to have to give it out because we have to go to break. We tried. We really tried.
How many yards did he have?
7,546.
7,500? Wow, yes. It wasn't even close.
Not even close, but...
All right. Nat Moore, one of my favorites. All right, we'll give more prizes away on Christopher's the Fans tomorrow. Don't forget, still a chance to win Padre Diamondback ticket. I'm watching the Dodger game right now. Padres Diamondbacks tickets in the next hour. Don't go anywhere. All right, less than an hour left in the program, which means we got to be coming up pretty soon on your chance to win a pair of tickets to tomorrow's Padres Diamondbacks game. Give you a chance to win those soon. Stick around, stay close by. First 40,000 tomorrow night are going to receive a Xander Bogaerts bobblehead. Grab tickets now at padres.com/tickets. Scraby, this is the time of the show where we normally have a big five.
Yes.
Is that what we're doing today?
Yes. Why would it change?
Don't forget to stay tuned. The EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt. That's after this show. Right now we have traffic then. The Grande Cinco.
What's going on?
The big.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, real quick, before we get into the Big Five, make sure, if you're watching on YouTube, to like our YouTube page. Apparently, that is a good thing for you to do, and it will get more eyeballs.
Scrappy will get a raise.
I hope. That would be amazing.
It would be about time.
Yeah. Don't get me started, Chris.
Hey, I know. Everybody can. Don't get anybody started.
Yes, everybody has the same thing going. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. All right, let's get into it.
Number five.
And I received a DM over the weekend, and I forgot about this, and I was going to put it in Padres Pen Pals, but I didn't. So we're going to do it here. But this person was nice. They weren't criticizing Jackson Merrill. They were just saying Jackson Merrill's struggling. He's looking more and more lost at the plate.
Okay.
And so the question was, is Jackson Merrill hitting a rookie wall, Chris?
No.
Here's some stats. Let me give you some stats.
Give me some stats, but I'm going to still say no. Go ahead.
Last 30 games, he's hitting .245. His OPS is like .574.
Mm-hmm.
Last seven games, he's hitting .200. Last 15 games, hitting .200.
Okay.
On the year, he's hitting .268, three home runs, 22 RBIs, seven stolen bases.
Yeah.
Is he hitting a rookie wall?
No.
Why?
Hasn't stolen a base since May 14th. So I'd like to see him get back on the run a little bit. No, I think he's having a normal season for a rookie player. And he's a normal rookie player. I think a lot of people want to compare him to what we saw, like when Fernando came in. Or, you know, you see like an Acuna. You know, I mean, these guys are superstars for a reason. Jackson Merrill's a nice, good, young player. He's having a very normal season, the way I see it. So, you know, from going from what did you say, 280 to 268,
yes,
or whatever,
yeah,
you know, he's a little over 300 for a while.
The highest early April 294 was May 17th.
Yeah. So that was May 17th. And now he's 268. That's a 20 point gap.
Yeah.
Nah, no wall. You know, he's just finding a way to make it every day in the big leagues. And that's just tough enough. So I don't feel, not into that wall thing.
Me neither, because he hit .280 in the month of May. And, yeah,
he was hitting .280 at the end of April, and he was hitting .280 at the end of May. That's pretty consistent.
That's really consistent.
Yeah. He's had a 1-for-12 start to June, so he's fallen off a little, but
I told this person, no, he has not hit the rookie wall, because he's still performing to a certain extent at the plate, and he's still doing things defensively. You know,
he's been really good on defense.
We don't even worry about him, and that's crazy, because
remember that was a big concern. He'd never even played a minute in the outfield.
Exactly. So I think that Jackson Merrill is performing better than I think some people thought he would be.
And we think he's performing better than most people around the around baseball, because remember last week we had our countdown of the top 10 rookies in baseball.
Yeah.
In the National League, he wasn't even on the list.
He's not
He's
not making tons of noise because he's not hitting a bunch of home runs, but he is playing steady enough to be considered.
He's done a really nice job.
I think the same thing. So let's get off Jackson Merrill's back. That's not where that person is.
I don't think really too many people are on it.
No, he's been a surprise and a welcome surprise.
Yes.
Number four.
So kind of a crazy scraby question, but we talked about this briefly yesterday. It seems like the Lakers are going to at least strongly consider J.J. Redick for the head coaching position. Stephen A. Smith said that he is hearing from sources that the Lakers are going to hire J.J. Redick, and the Lakers want to draft Bronny James in the second round of the draft because LeBron would like for that to happen. So I'm up first. Would drafting Bronny James be considered nepotism in your eyes? Very scraby question. But yes, that is nepotism to me. Because Bronny James, although he may be a great basketball player one day, he wasn't even one of the best basketball players in the country last year. His last name is James. He's not as tall as his dad. His dad's one in a billion athletes. I think this is nepotism. If he deserves to be on the team, go for it. If you're doing it to say to do something cool and just be like, hey, I played on the team with my son, that's really cool. I can't get behind that. You need to do something to better your team. Chris?
Bronny James, 6'4", 210, guard, University of Southern California.
Yes.
Statistics, 23-24 season, 4.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, 36% field goal percentage, 26% from three.
So the answer is yes, it's nepotism.
It's got to be. What else can it be? I don't even want to say it because there's other people who argue, you know, the guy had a heart procedure before the season, and that was a major factor. But there's no way anybody who's averaging 4 points a game is going to get a chance as a second-round draft pick in the NBA if their name's not Bronny James.
Yeah. But and this is not against...
Having said that, I don't really know that there's a whole lot wrong with it. You know, he's gonna get the opportunity to play in the league.
But what if there's
a
better player that can help their team now rather than down the road?
Late second round draft picks only
don't
help
really
a
help.
Team once in a blue moon.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're not a number one pick in the NBA when you're kind of guaranteed a roster spot, I don't know what the percentage is, but number two round picks only make it about 15-20% of the time. Most of them wind up in the developmental league.
And I want to make it clear, this is not Bronny James. Like, the only reason
he didn't ask for it.
No, yeah, the only reason his name is being brought up and we're breaking down his stats from USC is because he's being considered to be drafted in the second round. So it's not like he's sitting there saying, I want to be drafted. I should be drafted in the second round.
Pounding the table.
Number three.
All right. Chicago Sky forward Angel Reese was ejected for the first time in her professional career last night during the team's 88-75 loss to the visiting New York Liberty. Today, the league rescinded Reese's technical, according to the Chicago Tribune. I'm not sure that rescinds the ejection, though. I looked for that. Couldn't find it. Late in the fourth quarter, Reese was called for her fifth foul while battling for a rebound. She let the ref know about her frustration, and then she got her first technical. Then, as she was walking away from the referee, she gave him kind of a dismissive wave on the way over. So now, I think both of us don't think she deserved to be ejected for this.
Didn't look like it.
So this is not my question. Chris, is the media making Angel Reese look like a villain, or is Angel Reese making herself look like a villain?
Combination of the two.
Okay.
Angel Reese has made herself look like a villain with some of her behavior. I still go back to the, you know, can't see me, you know,
LSU,
look at my ring,
Iowa thing,
in the LSU. I thought that was still poor behavior. I know a lot of people liked it. I didn't think it was all that great. Personally, I like people to celebrate their championships a little more style than that. I certainly wasn't a fan of her jumping off the bench and appearing to celebrate the other day when her teammate shoulder blocked Caitlin Clark to the floor. But at the same time, I think there's a certain part of the media that is trying to make her into the villain here. But I think she's kind of, I don't think she hates it.
No,
you know,
I think
she's kind
either.
Of playing into it. I mean, I don't want to call her Dennis Rodman yet, but I don't think she'd mind being like Dennis Rodman, being like the villain face of the league. She kind of seems to thrive on that.
Yeah, she does.
So I think it's both.
You're right. It's both. But I think it's more media than Angel Reese.
You do.
When I learned of this last night, my phone just blew up with push notifications. Angel Reese ejected. Yeah. And all of them had their hot take in the line.
Oh, I had a story on ESPN.com last night. Really?
I don't think it's that big a news.
She got ejected.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the media is really trying to drive home that she, I don't know if I could say it this way, but she's a problem. And they're highlighting things that happened to her that makes her look like a problem.
I'm from a totally different generation than Angel Reese. So I don't really, you know, buy into all of her Angel Reese antics. It's not really my thing.
Me neither.
But, you know, She doesn't seem like a bad kid.
No, no, she doesn't seem like a bad person.
No, and they're trying to, it does seem like they're trying to get her once in a while.
Number two.
All right, Xander Schauffele won the PGA Championship, and immediately the questions about whether or not he was going to join or jump over to LIV started happening. Xander did an interview recently and said he has no interest in jumping over to LIV, although he did say he had some critical words for PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, saying that he may have not led them through.
Get in line, Xander. Get in line.
I know, but he wants to be an LPGA. We're just talking.
Be on the LPGA Tour?
I think he'll crush the
LPGA. You've got yourself a story there.
He wants to be on the PGA Tour. He said he's not going LIV. I personally believe him. I'm up first. Why do you think he wants to stay with the PGA Tour? When I was reading this, I've heard Xander Schauffele say over the years, or at least quoted saying over the years, that he grew up wanting to play on the PGA Tour. He wanted to play at Pebble Beach in those tournaments. He wanted to play in the majors. He wanted to make himself a name on the PGA Tour. The LIV thing just doesn't appeal to him, it seems like. And I think he does want to stay with the PGA Tour because that's his dream, is to be a PGA Tour star. And that's what he's doing right now.
I would say that's probably the reason that he's not, you know, going over there.
What do you think, Chris?
You just said, I think that he
wants to be a PGA Tour guy.
He just seems to want to be a PGA Tour guy. I would like to see him go to LIV. And I'd like to see Scheffler go to LIV.
Oh.
And I'd like to see you go to LIV and me go to LIV and everyone else go to LIV so that the PGA Tour and these people get their heads out of there, you know where, and figure out a way to come together and bring golf back to where I like it again.
It's never going to be there ever again.
Yes, ever's a long time. And the way it's going to get there quicker is if more of these guys leave, then the PGA Tour is going to have to make concessions to bring them back.
If we're to... I just looked over at you and I saw your hand in the camera doing the rah!
I'm waving. Yeah.
If I don't even really like the LIV format, I don't mind the golf. I don't like the format, the team format, the shotgun start, the three rounds, the music. I'm not into that. I don't know that I can become a LIV guy.
Yeah,
Chris.
Bring them all back to the PGA Tour, but the PGA, and I think they'd all come back to the PGA Tour if the PGA Tour could treat them the way they should be treated.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Number one.
Houston Texans star quarterback CJ Stroud ranked his current top five NFL quarterbacks during an appearance on the Million Dollars Worth a Game podcast. Okay. Stroud said Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson himself, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts are at the NFL's top quarterbacks, but then things took a turn as he quickly changed his mind and posted the final list on Instagram because he forgot about Josh Allen, he said. So he kept Mahomes, Jackson, and himself in the top three. He added Josh Allen to number four, and then he moved Dak Prescott to number five, pushing Jalen Hurts off of the list. So the question here is, Chris, do you agree with his list? Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, himself, CJ Stroud, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott.
I do not agree with his list.
Okay.
I would not put him on his list.
Okay.
I don't think he's quite there yet. Got quite a long way to go. He was fantastically good last year.
Yes.
However, it is his own list.
Yeah.
And with that, I would expect him to have confidence enough to put himself on it.
I agree.
Finally, I would recommend to him not to put any more lists like this together, because the guys you leave off it are going to all feel some type of way about it, and you don't need that headache.
He also said something about Aaron Rodgers, and he had some spicy takes on this podcast, I got to say. But you're right. When you're in the NFL, you can't be doing these lists anymore, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I also think that Jalen Hurts should be in there. He has been to a Super Bowl in the last 2 years.
I don't think Jalen Hurts should be there.
You don't?
Top five? Ahead of Aaron Rodgers? No.
Oh,
ahead of Josh Allen?
Ahead
no.
Ahead of Aaron Rodgers?
Ahead
yes.
of Patrick Mahomes? No.
We have
ahead
no
of Lamar
idea.
Jackson? No. Ahead of Patrick Mahomes? No.
We have no idea what Aaron Rodgers is going to do this year.
Aaron Rodgers way better than Jalen Hurts in the history of the game. Not close.
All right. We are going to go to break. Sammy Lev has stepped into the building. When
Padres,
we get back,
Diamondback Padres tickets talk. In the final half hour.
It's that time of the show when we check on the latest in sports. Only the most important topics and questions are brought to light.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
These news stories will astound and amaze you. The one, the
only.
Oh my God, who the hell cares?
The Big Five starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, real quick before we get into the Big Five, make sure, if you're watching on YouTube, to like our YouTube page. Apparently that is a good thing for you to do, and it will get more eyeballs.
Scraby will get a raise.
I hope. That would be amazing. It probably
Be about time.
Yeah. Don't get me started, Chris.
Hey, I know. Everybody can. Don't get anybody started.
Yes, everybody has the same thing going. Join the biggest moments in sports with Prize Picks. Pick your players, pick your stats, pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details. All right, let's get into it.
Number five.
And I received a DM over the weekend, and I forgot about this, and I was going to put it in Padres Pen Pals, but I didn't. So we're going to do it here. But this person was nice. They weren't criticizing Jackson Merrill. They were just saying Jackson Merrill's struggling. He's looking more and more lost at the plate.
Okay.
And so the question was, is Jackson Merrill hitting a rookie wall, Chris?
No.
Here's some stats. Let me give you some stats.
Give me some stats, but I'm going to still say no. Go ahead.
Last 30 games, he's hitting .245. His OPS is like .574.
Mm-hmm.
Last seven games, he's hitting .200. Last 15 games, hitting .200.
Okay.
On the year, he's hitting .268, three home runs, 22 RBIs, seven stolen bases.
Yeah.
Is he hitting a rookie wall?
No.
Why?
Hasn't stolen a base since May 14th. So I'd like to see him get back on the run a little bit. No, I think he's having a normal season for a rookie player. And he's a normal rookie player. I think a lot of people want to compare him to what we saw, like when Fernando came in. Or, you know, you see like an Acuna. You know, I mean, these guys are superstars for a reason. Jackson Merrill's a nice, good, young player who's having a very normal season. The way I see it. So, you know, from going from what did you say, 280 to 268,
yes,
or whatever, yeah, you know, he's a little over 300 for a while.
The highest early April 294 was May 17th.
Yeah. So that was May 17th. And now he's 268. That's a 20 point gap.
Yeah.
Nah. No wall. You know, he's just finding a way to make it every day in the big leagues. And that's just tough enough. So I don't feel not into that wall thing.
Me neither, because he hit .280 in the month of May, and yeah,
he was hitting .280 at the end of April, and he was hitting .280 at the end of May. That's pretty consistent.
That's really consistent.
Yeah, he's had a 1-for-12 start to June, so he's fallen off a little. But
I told this person, no, he has not hit the rookie wall because he's still performing to a certain extent at the plate, and he's still doing things defensively. You know,
he's been really good on defense.
We don't even worry about him, and that's crazy because
remember that was a big concern. He'd never even played a minute in the outfield.
Exactly. So I think that Jackson Merrill is performing better than I think some people thought he would be.
And we think he's performing better than most people around the around baseball, because remember last week we had our countdown of the top 10 rookies in baseball?
Yeah.
In the National League, he wasn't even on the list.
He's not
He's
not making tons of noise because he's not hitting a bunch of home runs, but he is playing steady enough to be considered.
He's done a really nice job.
I think the same thing. So let's get off Jackson Merrill's back. That's not where that person is.
I don't think really too many people are on it.
No. He's been a surprise and a welcome surprise.
Yes.
Number four.
So, kind of a crazy Scraby question, but we talked about this briefly yesterday. It seems like the Lakers are going to at least strongly consider J.J. Redick for the head coaching position. Stephen A. Smith said that he is hearing from sources that the Lakers are going to hire J.J. Redick, and the Lakers want to draft Bronny James in the second round of the draft because LeBron would like for that to happen. So, I'm up first. Would drafting Bronny James be considered nepotism in your eyes? Very Scraby question. But yes, that is nepotism to me. Because Bronny James, although he may be a great basketball player one day, he wasn't even one of the best basketball players in the country last year. His last name is James. He's not as tall as his dad. His dad's one in a billion athletes. I think this is nepotism. If he deserves to be on the team, go for it. If you're doing it to do something cool and just be like, hey, I played on the team with my son, that's really cool, I can't get behind that. You need to do something to better your team. Chris?
Bronny James, 6'4", 210, guard, University of Southern California.
Yes.
Statistics, 23-24 season, 4.8 points, 2.8 rebounds, 36% field goal percentage, 26% from three.
So the answer is yes, it's nepotism.
It's got to be. What else can it be? I don't even want to say it because there's other people who argue, you know, the guy had a heart procedure before the season, and that was a major factor. But there's no way anybody who's averaging 4 points a game is going to get a chance as a second-round draft pick in the NBA if their name's not Bronny James.
Yeah. But and this is not against...
Having said that, I don't really know that there's a whole lot wrong with it. You know, he's gonna get the opportunity to play in the league.
But what if
as
there's
a
better player that can help their team now rather than down the road?
Late second round draft picks only
don't
help
really
a
help.
Team once in a blue moon.
Okay.
So, you know, if you're not a number one pick in the NBA when you're kind of guaranteed a roster spot, I don't know what the percentage is, but number two round picks only make it about 15-20% of the time. Most of them wind up in the developmental league.
And I want to make it clear, this is not Bronny James. Like, the only reason
he didn't ask for it.
No, yeah, the only reason his name is being brought up and we're breaking down his stats from USC is because he's being considered to be drafted in the second round. So it's not like he's sitting there saying, I want to be drafted. I should be drafted in the second round.
Pounding the table.
Number three.
All right. Chicago Sky forward Angel Reese was ejected for the first time in her professional career last night during the team's 88-75 loss to the visiting New York Liberty. Today, the league rescinded Reese's technical, according to the Chicago Tribune. I'm not sure that rescinds the ejection, though. I looked for that. Couldn't find it. Late in the fourth quarter, Reese was called for her fifth foul while battling for a rebound. She let the ref know about her frustration, and then she got her first technical. Then, as she was walking away from the referee, she gave him kind of a dismissive wave on the way over. So now, I think both of us don't think she deserved to be ejected for this.
Didn't look like it.
So this is not my question. Chris, is the media making Angel Reese look like a villain, or is Angel Reese making herself look like a villain?
Combination of the two.
Okay.
Angel Reese has made herself look like a villain with some of her behavior. I still go back to the, you know, can't see me, you know,
LSU,
look at my ring
Iowa thing, yeah.
In the LSU. I thought that was still poor behavior. I know a lot of people liked it. I didn't think it was all that great. Personally, I like people to celebrate their championships a little more style than that. I certainly wasn't a fan of her jumping off the bench and appearing to celebrate the other day when her teammate shoulder blocked Caitlin Clark to the floor. But at the same time, I think there's a certain part of the media that is trying to make her into the villain here. But I think she's kind of, I don't think she hates it.
No,
I
don't
think
she's
kind of playing into it. I mean, I don't want to call her Dennis Rodman yet, but I don't think she'd mind being like Dennis Rodman, being like the villain face of the league. She kind of seems to thrive on that.
Yeah, she does.
So I think it's both.
You're right. It's both. But I think it's more media than Angel Reese.
You do.
When I learned of this last night, my phone just blew up with push notifications. Angel Reese ejected. Yeah. And all of them had their hot take in the line.
Oh, I had a story on ESPN.com last night. Really?
I don't think it's... I mean...
Like, look,
I don't think it's
that big
a news.
She got ejected.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the media is really trying to drive home that she... I don't know if I could say it this way, but she's a problem. And they're highlighting things that happened to her that makes her look like a problem.
I'm from a totally different generation than Angel Reese. So I don't really, you know, buy into all of her Angel Reese antics. It's not really my thing.
Me neither.
But, you know, she doesn't seem like a bad kid.
No, she doesn't seem like a bad person.
No, and it does seem like they're trying to get her once in a while.
Number two.
All right, Xander Schauffele won the PGA Championship, and immediately the questions about whether or not he was going to join or jump over to LIV started happening. Xander did an interview recently and said he has no interest in jumping over to LIV, although he did say he had some critical words for PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan, saying that he may have not led them through
get
this.
In line, I know. Xander, get in line.
I know, but he wants to be an LPGA, we're just talking.
Be in the LPGA Tour?
I think he'll crush the
LPGA.
You've
got yourself a story there.
He wants to be on the PGA Tour. He said he's not going live. I personally believe him. I'm up first. Why do you think he wants to stay with the PGA Tour? When I was reading this, I've heard Xander Schauffele say over the years, or at least quoted saying over the years, that he grew up wanting to play on the PGA Tour. He wanted to play at Pebble Beach in those tournaments. He wanted to play in the majors. He wanted to make himself a name on the PGA Tour. The LIV thing just doesn't appeal to him, it seems like. And I think he does want to stay with the PGA Tour because that's his dream, is to be a PGA Tour star. And that's what he's doing right now.
I would say that's probably the reason that he's not, you know, going over there.
What do you think, Chris?
I think that he
wants to be a PGA Tour guy.
He just seems to want to be a PGA Tour guy. I would like to see him go to LIV. And I'd like to see Scheffler go to LIV.
Oh.
And I'd like to see you go to LIV and me go to LIV and everyone else go to LIV so that the PGA Tour and these people get their heads out of there, you know where, and figure out a way to come together and bring golf back to where I like it again.
It's never going to be there ever again.
Yes, ever's a long time. And the way it's going to get there quicker is if more of these guys leave, then the PGA Tour is going to have to make concessions to bring them back.
If we're to... I just looked over at you and I saw your hand in the camera doing the rah!
I'm waving. Yeah.
If I don't even really like the LIV format, I don't mind the golf. I don't like the format, the team format, the shotgun start, the three rounds, the music. I'm not into that. I don't know that I can become a LIV guy.
Yeah,
Chris.
Bring them all back to the PGA Tour, but the PGA, and I think they'd all come back to the PGA Tour if the PGA Tour could treat them the way they should be treated.
Yeah, it's a mess.
Number one.
Houston Texans star quarterback CJ Stroud ranked his current top five NFL quarterbacks during an appearance on the Million Dollars Worth of Game podcast.
Okay.
Stroud said Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, himself, Dak Prescott, and Jalen Hurts are at the NFL's top quarterbacks, but then things took a turn as he quickly changed his mind and posted the final list on Instagram because he forgot about Josh Allen, he said. So he kept Mahomes, Jackson, and himself in the top three. He added Josh Allen to number four, and then he moved Dak Prescott to number five, pushing Jalen Hurts off of the list. So the question here is, Chris, do you agree with his list? Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, himself, CJ Stroud, Josh Allen, and Dak Prescott.
I do not agree with his list.
Okay.
I would not put him on his list.
Okay.
I don't think he's quite there yet. Got quite a long way to go. He was fantastically good last year.
Yes.
However, it is his own list.
Yeah.
And with that, I would expect him to have confidence enough to put himself on it.
I agree.
Finally, I would recommend to him not to put any more lists like this together, because the guys you leave off it are going to all feel some type of way about it, and you don't need that headache.
He also said something about Aaron Rodgers, and he had some spicy takes on this podcast, I got to say. But you're right. When you're in the NFL, you can't be doing these lists anymore, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I also think that Jalen Hurts should be in there. He has been to a Super Bowl in the last 2 years.
I don't think Jalen Hurts should be there.
You don't?
Top five? Ahead of Aaron Rodgers? No.
Oh,
ahead of Josh
yes.
Allen?
Ahead
no.
Ahead of Aaron Rodgers?
Ahead
yes.
of Patrick Mahomes? No.
We have
ahead
no
of Lamar
idea.
Jackson? No. Ahead of Patrick Mahomes? No.
We have no idea what Aaron Rodgers is going to do this year.
Aaron Rodgers is way better than Jalen Hurts in the history of the game. Not close.
All right. We are going to go to break. Sammy Lev has stepped into the building. When
Padres
we get back,
Diamondback
Padres
tickets
talk.
In the final half hour.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.